Today's Talk Tonight continues on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards. Jim will be back on Monday to sit in the big chair. Until then, I am here. And this is a cool story. I'm interested to get to the bottom of this, because right now, as we sit here, I know that two things are happening. Aliens are coming. Okay, I don't know that that's 100% true, but it might be true. What is true, though, is that scientists are setting up a post-detection hub in Scotland, and they're concerned that about how humans would react like headless chickens if aliens arrive, if they come. We've seen it in the movies a lot of times. Usually it's an alien, and they meet the president of the United States, and one of two things happens: lasers fire, or world peace happens, and the aliens are super cool. But how would we actually react? We don't really know. If our reaction to another worldwide incident like COVID is any indication, we won't react well. So I wanted to bring in an expert. We needed an expert, Sarah Ruckheimer, a professor of astrophysics at York University and the Carswell Chair for the Public Understanding of Astronomy, is just that person. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi, Richard. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. So let's talk about a couple of things here. Is there a possibility that aliens will contact us, given your knowledge? And if so, how would that happen?
I mean, excellent questions. One thing that I'd like to highlight is we've been looking for intelligent signals for many decades with SETI. We haven't found anything yet, but that doesn't mean they're not there. So the best analogy I've come across is that if we look at the parameter space, kind of all this possible signals that we could imagine to look for, we've only searched the equivalent of about a hot tub pool worth out of the Atlantic Ocean. We just haven't begun to even get close. I mean, not even close. But that's not to say that that's not going to happen in our lifetimes. Yeah. So what's really exciting is that's ramping up. So there's things like the Breakthrough Initiative for Breakthrough Listen, which is taking as much data as SETI used to collect in a year within a day. So we're really seeing some exponential growth on that, and hopefully we'll be able to tackle more like the Atlantic Ocean by 2050, they estimate, actually.
Wow. I mean, it's obviously technology is better. There's more focus on this, but that doesn't seem like very long from now, considering that we've been trying to, understand the universe for hundreds of years.
Yeah, that surprised me too. I heard it at a conference where Jill Tarter, who's sort of the inspiration for Carl Sagan's Ellie Arroway character in Contact, and she was talking about that, how like just because of these new technologies, because of this rapid increase, we actually will be able to more or less search this parameter space within our lifetimes, which I think is incredibly cool. And I'm, your guess is as good as mine as to whether we'll find anything, but I think it's cool.
But we should be like, good scouts and whatnot, and be prepared, right?
Do our homework. Well, I think this is what was kind of when I was reading this Guardian article about this new initiative, it is somewhat true that humans are not known for being cool in a crisis. And I think we can look back at like the toilet paper run in COVID, where it's don't buy 50 rolls, just buy a few for the week. More will be coming. And that just didn't go anywhere. So I do worry that, if we were to suddenly get a signal, it's kind of, people would take unilateral action that had the money. And I'd worry about that, in terms of just sending something back or doing what they felt best. And so I do think these initiatives are worth doing. I'm a little skeptical that it'll actually matter when push comes to shove if we get such a signal.
Interesting that with a world filled with billionaires who seem to be content to doing things that only NASA used to do, that maybe they're the ones that are going to get the message first, and then what happens?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a bigger problem that is within this area of science, is that it's largely small groups of people that are making these decisions nominally on behalf of our whole planet. Whether we announce our presence to the cosmos or not could have drastic, potentially catastrophic implications to us. Yet there are a very limited number of people that have that power, and also people could just unilaterally take that action. And by and large, those people are wealthy, from Western countries, white, male, these sorts of questions, right, that then make us worry, like, are we actually speaking for humanity? And at this point, we're not.
And these are the people who then will decide, if they do get a message, they have to decide what to send back. And that's the billion dollar question, is what do you send back?
Well, I think we have time. I mean, the nearest systems would still be light years away.
Right.
So any message we get, it's not like they're expecting a text message back immediately. And, you know, if we don't get back to them in 3 days, they think we've broken up with them or something. There's going to be some time, you know, like years, decades, maybe even 100 years, right, to think about this. This isn't something where I'd say there's a great urgency, given the fact that light can only travel, mm-hmm, at the speed of light. So these signals can only get here, you know, by traveling that vast distance. We can take some time, decode it, figure it out, come up with what we want to do, and then send back. But I do think that someone will just, you know, build a dish and send something else without consulting.
So there is a professor of theoretical physics at the City College of New York who said that reaching out to aliens would, quote, be the biggest mistake in human history. What side of the fence do you fall? I mean, having said what you just said, it took hundreds of years to get there, maybe, but what side of the fence do you fall on that?
I mean, it's really interesting. On the one hand, I don't think it's necessarily true that aliens would be antagonistic. However, if we're getting a message from them, they're probably more advanced than us. And would you want to take that chance, even if there's only 1% chance that they're, you know, killer robot aliens or something? Would you? Do you want to take that chance?
Yeah.
Exactly. But then there's this other thing that I don't even know if we're going to be able to communicate with them. I want you to just try to imagine explaining your iPhone to your cat tonight when you go home. And if you can do that, and like, we're very related to our cats, you know, genetically, we're not that far separated, even to say a chimpanzee, we're our closest ancestor. We just have no idea how to explain these types of concepts. So I'm not really sure that an alien civilization, A, would care to speak with us, because we might be the proverbial ants, you know, in the universe. Yeah. And B, even if they're trying to communicate with us, their concepts of math and language and intelligence might be so different from ours that we would just have no idea. We're not looking for those signals, perhaps, and we wouldn't be able to decode them if we do get them.
You are a professor of astrophysics at York University. When you watch science fiction movies, and I'm sorry, we only have 30 seconds left. When you watch science fiction movies, do you go, oh, that's nonsense? Or are you able to shut that part of your brain off and just enjoy?
Oh, I love them. I love them all. You know, even I love Arrival is a good one for this question on language with aliens. But yeah, definitely.
Well, thanks so much, Sarah. What a pleasure to speak to you. That was really great.
Thanks, Richard.
Thank you so much. That was Sarah Ruckheimer, a professor of astrophysics at York University and the Carswell Chair for the Public Understanding of Astronomy. That was interesting stuff. I liked that interview. When we come back, Ian Howlcroft will join me. We're going to talk about the top 5 trade skills that will be most in demand during the post-pandemic economic recovery. Stay with me.